And again, I say, tonight we move back into the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, verse 10. We're still dealing with our theme in this book, the revelation of Jesus Christ in the book of Hebrews. Let's move to the first chapter where we stopped last time, and let's move to verse number 10. In verse number 10, the Bible says, "And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth. The heavens are the works of thy hand. They shall perish, but thou remainest. And they shall all wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail." When we just look at just those two verses, those three verses, before we move any further, we pull from this a topic to look at in looking at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And this will be, there is no new revelation of God for mankind. I say, there is no new revelation of God for mankind. We've talked about, so what is the big deal about Jesus being better than the angels? We've talked about Jesus being all of these magnificent things that the book of Hebrews talk about. But tonight, we're talking about the immutability, the unchangeableness of the glory of the revelation of God. So that when you have someone come before you with a teaching from the Buddha or Siddhartha, or a teaching from Muhammad or Joseph Smith, the one that founded the Mormons, or if it's Ahasuerus, or if it's some other person, it doesn't matter if it's the Dalai Lama. It doesn't matter if it's someone that tells you to bow down to a statue and he calls himself the Holy Father or the Pope. It doesn't matter if it's someone that's speaking in a tongue or has an ecstatic language. It doesn't matter if it's someone that tells you that they have the anointing and they buck their knees when they preach, or they flap a towel, or they wave their hand in the air, or they buck their eyes and look at you real hard, or if they breathe on people and they fall. It doesn't really matter. When you know the word of God, you will know that the last revelation of God is Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, the magnificent Christ. Yes, we've touched on verse 10. Yes, we've touched on verse 11. Now let's zoom in. Let's zoom in and see who this one is, the last revelation of God. Verse number 10 says, "And thou, Lord," the same one that, where we stopped, where he had the oil of gladness above his fellows. So we are talking about Jesus the Christ. We are talking about the one that came in and that was incarnated. Incarnate means in flesh. The one that came in and that was in the womb of Mary, that came from the womb of Mary and grew up. And as we talked about last week, when he was anointed with the oil of gladness above his fellows, that the Spirit of God came upon him, and that he had the Spirit of God above measure, according to John chapter 3, verse 34. And because we see in Luke and Matthew, the Spirit of God descended upon him, and then Luke said came bodily and descended on him as a dove, we see he walked around doing good. In the book of Acts, Peter said he walked around doing good. The Spirit of God was upon him when he did those things, and he showed the people that he was the very one that the prophets had spoken about. And this same one, not the Father, this is the Son. And thou, Lord, in the beginning has laid the foundation of the earth. If we pay attention to the scriptures, if we have read the Bible before we get to Hebrews, we begin to understand what the Bible has said. We will understand what the Bible is talking about, and we would know fully and we would understand. Yet he's saying that the same person that is the Lord that was in flesh had a pre-existence. It could be pinpointed for the people when Jesus was born. It can never be pinpointed when the Lord of glory came into being, because he's eternal. Therefore, we see when we look at these scriptures and we understand what God is saying, we will know that there is no revelation that comes after him. You laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hand. Now, that's a lot to say about somebody. But when you see this right here, you begin to see this is why you are greater than the angel. When you see this right here, you begin to understand that these people that are getting ready to go into sorrow, these people that are going to be going against Rome, these people are going to go up against everything that's going to come upon them in the last 40 years from the time that Jesus leaves the earth and when he dies and ascends up on heaven, and they are the last generation that is equal to the last generation that was with Moses, and the generation that saw Moses and saw God's work according to Numbers 13 and 14, that would not enter into the promised land. And God said they will not enter into my rest. And thank God for my wife. We were talking about it when we get to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3 is going to tell you, don't be like the people when they harden their heart in the day of provocation. And he's going to say to them, they will not enter into my rest. Stop clapping, Tim. You're getting too happy. In that particular time, those same people that live in that 40 years that don't change will be slaughtered. Some of their flesh will be eaten by each other. The beast will come. The fire will burn. The temple is gone. You laid the foundation of the earth. We need to go and see what we're talking about. He's pulling this. The writer of the Hebrews is pulling this from the book of Psalms. So therefore, let's go back and see where he's pulling it from, so that we can see that this person is biblically literate, theologically sound, and he is talking to people that should have the background of what he is talking about. How do you know this, Tim? The name of the book is Hebrews. That doesn't tell you enough, does it? No, it doesn't. But let's show you a little bit of familiarity. Are you all familiar that we've gone through chapter 1, verse 1? God, who in sundry times, when he talks about different portions, and in divers manners, many ways, fire, burning bush, clouds, etc., spake to the fathers. Wait a minute. He's talking to Hebrews. To the fathers by the prophets hath in this last days, in these last days, they were right now, spoken to us by his son. I want us to smell that. I want us to feel that. This is the revelation. His son is the heir of all things. And then he said, whom he made the world. That word was the aeons, the aeons, the ages. Well, when we go back to here to where he's pulling, he's trying to show the people the greatness of who they worship, who they serve, so that nothing can pull them, whether it's Judaizers, whether it's the Essenes, whether it's the Pharisees, Sadducees, whether it's like a Sakari that carried a little sword, many sects of Jews. Even those that would come up with their own stuff like Thutis, nobody will move you when you realize that you have the last revelation of God. Listen to what the Bible say where he is pulling his sweetness and his juice. Psalms 102, verse 25, it says, of old,
as thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hand. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end.
When you see this, and you understand that he is taking it from the book of the Psalms, listen to that 28th verse, and listen to the promise that is there.
the children of thy servants shall continue, and their seed shall be established before thee.
Now, if an individual would walk through the scriptures, but we're not going to walk through them all. I'm just going to take you to Daniel 7, 13, and 18, and I'm not even going to turn to it. Because I allude to this scripture so much that we should be familiar with it right now. But when Daniel had the night visions, and he saw one like a son of man, and it says like a son of man, don't let that confuse you, because it says like a instead of the. Because when Jesus comes on the scene, he says, I am the Son of Man. Daniel saw one like a son of man, but Jesus said, I am the Son of Man. Remember, they saw darkly. They didn't fully understand what they were seeing. But he came up in the clouds of heaven. That's why when you see him coming in the clouds, don't always think he's coming to earth. Daniel's view was from heaven. He came in the clouds. That was giving him a kingdom, a throne, dominion, and power that he should rule nations and tongues, etc. But if you would read down till you get to verse 18, then the kingdom is given to his saints. His saints rule with him. I would submit to you that this is what Paul is grasping for us in the book of Romans. And go to it with your sweet love. And Romans chapter 16, verse 20. While I talk about this 28th verse that you read, the last one. And he said, the service of and the children of thy servants shall continue. David is talking about a Hebrew construct, dealing with Hebrew people, and dealing with those that would love God. And he said, the children of your servants shall continue. You say that his God will have no end, and the servants shall continue, and their seed shall be established before thee. There is no establishment of anybody's seed unless they're in Christ. There is no establishment. There is no life eternal in the sense that God is talking about eternal, where you live forever and you rule and reign with him unless one is in Christ. What does it say in Romans chapter 16, verse 20, when Paul was getting ready to end his letter to the people in Rome?
And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly.
See, now, if you really pay attention to that, he is saying, I already have the power. The writer of the Hebrews has told you in verse 3, somebody said you keep going back to it because you keep forgetting. Else you wouldn't think that when somebody mentioned Muhammad or some other religion is equal. Remember what he says, verse 2, Hebrews 1, he has appointed him heir of all things, by whom he made the world of the aeons. It says he is the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person. Number one, he upholds all things by the word of his power. That's one. He himself purged our sin. Two, he sat down on the right hand of majesty in high. And that means that's a ruling position as a co-regent with the Father. And now the same one that's saying, you made the heaven, you made the earth. They are just like a garment. They wax old, but you remain the same. But where they are pulling it from, the saints will be established. But what does the writer of the Hebrews in verse 10 say again to them? He says, from the beginning you have laid the foundation of the earth, the heavens are the work of your hands. But it says, they shall perish, but you remain. If you're familiar with the scripture, you will see that Mary had a visitation from an angel, Gabriel. And it said, this child that will be born of you, this holy thing, shall be called the Son of God. He will sit on the throne of his father, David, didn't he say it? And he said, of his kingdom, there will be no end. Bless his everlasting name. Let's feel some of this. From the foundation. I mean, from the beginning, you have laid the foundation of the earth. This same one, when you want to see God's Son in his glory, the last revelation of God, he's going back to let you see that your revelation didn't just start here. The revelation that you have in Jesus being the unchangeable, you don't need a new one, is the ones that the prophet spoke about. It's the ones that the angels, people say they sang, but the Bible said they were saying. And here is the one that is the fulfillment of what God says. And listen to what the Bible says. This is beautiful in Job chapter 38. Let's look at what the Bible says in Job chapter 38 when he asked Job some questions. Because Job wanted to talk, and Job said more than he was worthy to say. What does it say in Job chapter 38 verse 1? I want you to hear what the Bible says here. He just asked Job some questions. The Bible says, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? This can't be the revelation of God. I mean, if God is asking Job, as wise as Job was, the Bible said he darkened counsel with words without knowledge. Gird up your loins like a man, for I will demand of thee. And answer me if you will. Where was I, or where was thou, when I laid the foundations of the earth? Where were you? The Greek word there, if you were going from a Septuagint, would be themelos. It's the same word, themelos, is the same word as foundation that is used in the book of Hebrews. Where were you? This is the pre-incarnate Christ talking to Job. Unless you can come and prove and pull verse 10 of Hebrews chapter 1, not being the Christ, you're not really grasping the significance of what we have in the last revelation of Christ. I mean, of God. Where were you, Job? Gird up your loins like a man. I will demand of thee, answer me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Declare if you have understanding. Who has made the measure thereof, if you know? Who stretched a line upon it? Where upon are the foundations thereof fastened, Job? Who has laid the cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together. Talking about what we call angels. When the morning, and keep that stars in your mind, because I got something to give you on this. When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Job, when this was done, where were you? Where were you when that symphony was sung? Job, verse 8. Well, who shut up the sea with doors? When it breaks forth, as it is issued out of the womb. When I made the cloud, the garment thereof, and the thick darkness as a swaddling band for it, and break up it for my decreed place, I set bars and doors. Ask Muhammad of that. Ask the Buddha of that. Ask me, Tim Merritt. I can't tell you these things. Ask your pastor or your bishop. Ask your philosophy teacher. Ask your college. They cannot tell you these things. But the one in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 10, can tell you. Because now, in verse 10, the one that was the Christ that was on earth, the one that we're going to see in chapter 5, verse 7, learns. We're talking about God. Yes, God's learning. God the Son is learning. Why is God the Son learning? Because he has taken on humanity. And in taking on humanity, the Bible said, though he were rich, he became poor for your sake, that through his poverty, you might become rich. And according to Philippians chapter 2, he made himself of no reputation. I already had the reputation. When he came to the earth, the angel said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. When he came to earth, he had it, but he made himself of no reputation. He would not let the demons tell the people who he was, because he knew who he was, but he did not exercise his power. He did not exercise his authority to walk on water. He didn't exercise his power to heal. The Bible says, and you got to stay with the Bible so that you never get confused in your mind. You'll never forget how great and how wonderful a salvation that we have in the last revelation of God. Jesus himself said, and he made it known when he was walking the earth in John chapter 8, verse 28. John 8 and 28, then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am. That he is definitely not in the Hebrew text, but I'll say he for you. And I do nothing of myself. When you have lifted me up, when you're ready to crucify me, when you crucify me, you're going to know I do nothing of myself. But as my Father has taught me, I'm learning. I'm not using my ability to know where I laid the foundation of the earth. What I did, I laid it aside. I did not use it. I did not tap into who I am. I came in humanity. Satan did not have anything in me because I'm not totally in flesh like you are. I don't have the sin nature that comes from the blood of the Father. I have the nature of the Father, but I'm in flesh because I have a human mother. So Satan has nothing in me. I am as pure as Aaron was. And yet, I'm talking about in my humanity. I am he. I do nothing of myself, but as my Father has taught me, I speak these things, and he that sent me is with me, and the Father has not left me alone. When you see me, I'm not alone, for I do always those things that please him. Well, one of the things that people don't understand, this is where he gave the passage. There were some Jews that believed on him, and the Bible says, and he said to those Jews that believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. Not the truth about 1 + 1. Not the truth about 10 miles plus 20 miles. The truth about God. The truth about the revelation of God. The truth about what he has said, because I'm not speaking my own words. I'm speaking the words of him that sent me. The Father is in me, and he is the one that is doing the works. And until an individual began to understand the gravity and the beauty and the joy of that, people will never begin to understand what God has offered and what he is bringing about to we, the sons of men. What do you mean, Tim? How do you say that, Tim? I'm going to show you this, and then I'm going back to where I was. We need to see that, because I had Ann to read that in Romans chapter 16, verse 20. Listen to what Jesus has said for us, and so many times we skip it. We miss it. We don't see what he is saying. Listen to what Jesus said, the one that had laid aside his power and his authority to be subject to the Father so that he could be a propitiation, an appeasement for our sins. John 14 and 21, the Bible said that Jesus said to the people, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith, not Judas Iscariot, Lord, how is it you will manifest yourself to us and not into the world? Here's what we need to, this is what we need to sink our teeth in. Jesus answered and said unto them, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. That's the same word that when you hear in John 14, in my Father's house are many mansions. It's the same Greek word, mone. What I'm trying to help you to understand is what Jesus is saying. The Father was in me doing the works. The Father was in me telling me what to say. And if we keep his commandments, the Father will be in us and the Son will be in us, and we will speak his words. We will live the life he wants us to live, and we will realize that the last revelation of God is Jesus, the magnificent Christ, that gives us power, that gives us strength, and that makes us one with God. But the ignorant, the ungodly, those that listen to the foolish teachers in this world, they have the tendency to say, well, it can't be that Jesus is God and the Father is God and that they're not the same person. That is not what the Bible means when the Bible says God is one. When the Bible says that God is one, the word is that God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. The Hebrew word is God. But without even going there, I want you to see how ridiculous that would be if the individual would take that same context and look at what the Bible says here in John chapter 17, verse 11. This is talking about us here. Jesus says, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those that thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Now, if you ever think that we're going to be God, are you going to ever be able to go back and say we laid the foundation of the earth and that we're going to roll them up as a garment and we know where the foundations of the earth are, a way he keeps the darkness in the snow? No. When he's talking about being one, they will come and live in us. We will still be our same human person, but we will be redeemed. We will be under the control of the Spirit of God. We can do the work of God. And as we move into chapter 2, we will see he defeats the work of Satan. And now we can do the kingdom work for God, being light unto the world. But until you see that he is the last revelation of God, you might listen to someone else. You may consider Jesus to be equal with someone else. And if he's equal to someone else and you're not talking about God, you have diminished from him. Blessed is the everlasting name forevermore. Now listen to what he says in verse 13. I want you to feel this. Verse 12 of 17. While I was in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou hast given me, I kept, and none is lost save the son of perdition. What is his number one focus? That the scripture might be fulfilled. Listen to this. This is so beautiful. Verse 13. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in them. What joy? To defeat the works of Satan. That the time will come that Satan will be crushed under their feet. He's going to be crushed under mine. I'm not giving up. Always do those things that please him. They are supposed to be in me, and I am them. And if they keep my words, they'll be able to walk and do what God has said that they should do. Listen to what it says in 17, because I want to get back to my other part. 17 and 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Same thing he said in John 8, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Listen to this. Very important that you feel this. Verse number 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for all them also which shall believe on me through their word. What word? The Father gave him the words to speak. Here is the key. And they all may be one. That they all may be one. Thou, Father, art in me. Father, you are in me. And I in thee. That they may be one in us. That they also may be one in us. They are not going to be the Father. They are not going to be the Son. They are not going to be the Holy Ghost. It'll still be Tim. It'll still be Richard. It'll still be John. It'll still be Peter. It'll still be whoever it is, but they'll be in Christ, and Christ will be in them, and the Father will come unto them and make his abode in them, and the Spirit of God will baptize them in the Son, and the Son will baptize them in the Holy Ghost or the Spirit, like John the Baptist. And in our bodies, we'll have all of that going on, and we'll be one with God, but we will not be the Father, we will not be the Son. So how dare we not understand that as the last revelation of God, Jesus is God in the flesh, but he is not the Father. When we are one with him, we're not going to be the Son. We're going to be an adopted son. We're not going to be the father. We're going to have the father in us. Oh, the magnificence of the beauty of the joy of what God has promised for his children. Those of us that want to live and do and be what he would have us to be. He's got something good for us. I used to hear an old man say when I was a boy, there's a great day coming. A great day coming by and by. If we walk with God right now, a great day could be right now and now. Whew, Lord have mercy. Listen to the foundation of the earth being laid in him, questioning Job about the foundation. Listen to what he asked Job in Job chapter 38, verse 17. He says, have the gates of death been opened unto thee? Or hast thou seen the doors of the shadow of death? Hast thou perceived the breadth of the earth, the width? Declare if thou knowest all. Two more questions, or two more verses. Where is the way where light dwelleth? And as for darkness, where is the place thereof? That you should take it and bound it to yourself, that thou shouldest know the paths to the house thereof. This writer in the Hebrews is telling them, Lord, in the beginning of the foundation of the earth, they are the works of your hands. It includes the waters of the sea. It includes the place where death would be. It includes the shadows of death. It includes the breath, knowing that. It includes where the light dwells and the darkness dwells. You know all of these things, and yet you are the God-man. Somebody would say, Tim, I think you're confused. It can't be. It's talking about the Lord Jesus. Well, listen to the book of the Revelation. Since I've told you before that the book of the Revelation is going to give you the revelation of Jesus in such compacted form that as you take it out, you're going to see Jesus, 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 precious Jesus. Oh, so much grace we need to trust him more. Listen to what the 20 elders say as they bow down and worship him. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. They say, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure were they created. Did you get that? Somebody might say, well, I still don't fully understand. But can you read? Sometimes you need to just know how to read. It shouldn't be that God is so easy to understand that everything that God could say that we would fully understand it. But listen to this one. Revelation chapter 10, verse 4. We're going to park on verse 6. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 10, verse 4, talking about the Jesus the Christ, the one that I say created the heavens and the earth, and they being the works of his hand. It says that when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, seal up the things which the seven thunders uttered and write them not. And an angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted his hand to heaven. That's a position of swearing. When they raise their hand up to God and to the earth in heaven is swearing. Listen to what it says in verse 6. And swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are therein, and the earth and the things that are therein, and the sea and the things which are therein, that time should be no longer. When you read that, please don't read that in the book of the Revelation and think that there will be no more time. The word chronos here is talking about no more delay before God does his judgment. But someone say, I could still say that that's not Christ. That's fine. That's fine. We're not going to read all of the book of the Revelation, but I want you to see that in the book of the Revelation, there's honor, there's glory, there's a majesty attributed to the one that created the heaven and the earth and the things that are in it. And that not only the 420 elders worship, but then there's a great angel that raises his hand, one in heaven and one in earth, and does it. Then I want you to look at what the Bible says in the book of Colossians 1 and 12 so we can hear Paul talk about this creation. Paul says in Colossians 1 and 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. For those that don't believe that the Son already has his kingdom and already rules, how dare you say that you are happy to be translated into the kingdom of his dear Son, and his Son doesn't have a kingdom, and you think that you got to wait to a millennium before he has a kingdom. And if he has a kingdom now, how weak is he? He's not weak. He's strong. But it's just like the children of Israel in Numbers 13 and 14, they would not go and take the land, but Joshua and Caleb said, take it. God has already given it to us. But there are those that will always weaken the hands of those that will stand righteously. Well, guess what? The ungodly and the wicked know that they can take the kingdom. They get their laws passed. They get to teach your children in their schools. They get to make laws that determine what you can do to discipline your children. They get to determine whether we can take your money or your property, because you won't stand and take the land. So the giants stay in the land and the beasts stay in the land because you won't conquer through righteousness. But that never stopped the Lord. And I'm going to show you something else. It never stopped Moses. The Bible said before Moses died and before Moses did the sin that did not let him go into the promised land, he was 120 years old, and it said none of his life juices, none of his life forces had abated. What do you mean, Tim? I mean, Moses could have married a 30-year-old woman and been no problem. Moses could have went and lift weights, no problem. Moses could have still ran like he did when he was a child. How do you get that? Because Moses was the one that God had to lead them in the kingdom. And as long as Moses was doing, God was allowing Moses to be there to lead. Now we have one that can't die again. And just because you don't move in, that don't stop him from doing what he's supposed to do. Go back and read what you're reading at him. In verse 14 in Colossians 1. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Just like Hebrews 1, isn't it? When he had purged our sins by his own blood, sit on the right hand. Listen to what he says here. Who is the image of the invisible God? If you can't see this, wait till I read these next two verses. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist, and he is the head of the body, the church, the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that all things he might have the preeminence. Now, when you look at this writing, Hebrews 1 and 10 and 11, and thou from the beginning have laid the foundation of the earth, the heavens are the work of thy hands. Paul said that this is Christ. They shall perish, but you remain. If I were to read all of Revelation, you would hear him tell John, behold, I am he that liveth and was dead. And guess what, John? And I am alive forevermore. The Father has never been dead. Don't you believe? And the Father will ever have to be alive again. So the Bible says he is the one that created all things. I just want to give you one little taste for the sake that we can see the continuity in the scripture and the beauty of the scripture. You see, when I quoted and read a little bit of Hebrews 1 and 3. I just want you to feel 1 and 3. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power. When Paul wants you to know that this same human, this human, that's the God-man, that's the last revelation of God, he tells you, if you listen to him closely, verse 15, he says, who is the image of the invisible God? So when he said, when you have seen me, you've seen the Father. It's not the fact that you see the Father by you seeing me in my flesh. You've seen the Father when you see what I do, when you see what I say. God is spirit. Can you see righteousness? Can you see justice? Can you see truth? Can you see the very thing that eternally is set forth? If you can't see that, you'll be just like Philip in John chapter 14, 8. Have I been so long a time with you, Philip? And you say, show me the Father. And how is it then that people can see us and never see God? Can never see Christ if they're supposed to be living in us and walking in us? And how is it that we cannot even envision Satan being under our feet? You should see little victims of Satan under your feet in yourself first. Then in your home, and you learn, and you move on and on with the Lord God who is blessed forever. Amen. Oh, this thing is really sweet. He says, they are the works of your hand. And I just want to, just for the sake of love, I've told you before, we really need to understand when he says this, the heavens are the works of your hand. There are two things when we talk about the heavens that I want you to know, and then I'll work through to prove it. When we talk about the heavens, we have a physical thing that we call the heavens. But there's another set of the heavens that are the earthly heavens. Those of us that have gone through the book of Genesis realize that leaders are in the position of called heavens, sun, moon, stars, etc. Tell me where you get that from. Jacob knew about it when Joseph had his dreams. I saw the sun and the moon and 11 stars bow down. Didn't he say it? And didn't the Bible call those angels the morning stars? He said, I saw the morning stars sing. And the sons, they shouted while the sons of God sung. In Job 38, the morning stars. Jesus is the light of the world. And the angels were considered to be just like stars. They were considered to be lights. Now, I showed you just a moment ago. I said, he has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Do you remember that I told you that? Well, when I told you that, I was serious. I want you to see what the Bible has to say about this. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Because I want you to see that the heavens, it don't just concern the ungodly, it also concerns us. Listen to what the Bible says here. In chapter 2, those that are familiar with the scripture, we know this is where Christ laid aside deity. I've talked about it before. And that he became obedient unto death, that means in his humanity. And in his humanity, he was exalted. And in his humanity, he was given a name above every name. Now listen to what happens after he's given a name where every knee hath to bow and tongue confess. It's very important. 12 through 15. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now so much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you. That's if you're keeping his commandments. You're not obeying if you're not keeping his commandments. He works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He's not working in you. You're not obeying if you don't realize the Son is the last revelation. And let your own mind be subject. Let your county be subject, your city, etc. But listen to this. Do all things without murmuring and disputing. Here it is, verse 15. That you may be blameless, harmless, the sons of God. In the book of Job, the sons of God, they were excited when the foundation of the earth was laid, right? And the stars were there. I keep quoting that scripture wrong. If you will, go to Job. I think it's 38 and 9, Andrina. I think it is, because I want to make my point, and in making my point, if I keep getting it mixed up, I'll be messing up my point. Look at 38 and 7, I believe it is. That's what it is. When he asked Job about the foundation of the world, he says,
when the morning stars sang together.
The morning stars sang. We're not talking about those lights. We're talking about beings, okay?
And all the sons of God shouted for joy.
Okay, now the scripture tells us that this person has been elevated, this person has become the heir of all things, this person in whom is made like unto his brother, and we become joint heirs with him, he was elevated, given a name above every, so you keep doing his will, and do all things without murmuring and disputing, that you may be harmless, the sons of God. Because the sons of God shouted for joy. If you're going to be like the sons of God that were in heaven, there should be some joy in you. He wanted you to have some joy. We read that just a moment ago. Look at this part. The sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a perverse nation, a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. That Greek word there is phoster, which talks about stars, luminaries, light. That's our job. We are to be in the same level as Jacob was in his family when Joseph said, I saw the sun and the moon and the 11 stars bow down. They were supposed to be the luminaries on earth to the world. Christ came from that. Didn't, in the 24th chapter of Numbers, even Balaam said, I see his star. I see the star coming out of him. Didn't Jacob talk about his star? Now, if he is going to be the star of God, the light of God, how dare we say we in him and we have no light? What does that have to do with anything with him being the last revelation? Because him being the last revelation showed you what he has for you too. No other man and no other thought can give you that position of being a star before God, a son of God before God, and give you dominion. And you, look at this person that you worship, Jesus the Magnificent Christ, and you realize there is no rival. God knows, I've heard so many people say, we need a new revelation. No, you need to understand the true revelation. And the Bible said, they shall perish. The people, wicked lights, but you remain. They all shall wax old as a garment. And as a vesture, thou shalt fold them up, and they will be changed. But thou art the same. What does Hebrews 13:8 say? It tells you that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We should not be changing. We should not put our hand to the plow and look back. We should not be going back and forth in the sin. The Bible tells us, but now being made free from sin, Romans 6:20, we become servants to God. We have our fruit unto righteousness and the end everlasting life. But all of this is we are getting from the revelation of the one that created the heavens and earth, the one that does not change. They said, well, it was a change when he came from being spiritual and then he took on humanity. If you want to be a fool, you can be a fool. The Bible had talked about God had set this up before the foundation of the world in Ephesians 1:4, that you should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated unto us the adoption of children by Jesus Christ unto himself according to the good pleasure of his own will. Nothing has changed. It's all about him. He is the last revelation of God. It says, the same in thy years shall not fail. Is this not what the revelation of Jesus Christ say? Behold, I am alive. I am he that was dead and is alive and alive forevermore. I don't change. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit at my right hand, co-reign with me till I make thine enemies thy footstool. Yet those of us that are in Christ, according to Romans 16:20, and according to Daniel 7:18, we get to rule. We get to take the kingdom. But if you don't realize that Jesus is the last revelation of Jesus Christ, you go on and you continually play the fool. Listen to what the Bible says. I want us to also see one last thing on this when we're talking about heavens and things being removed. Because we knew at one time Israel was considered to be the heavens and the other nations were like the earth. Listen to what the Bible says in Hebrews 12 and 27. It's very important that we pull this out. The Bible says, I better start at 25 because it'll go very well with Hebrews 2 and 1 where it says we ought to get a more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Hebrews chapter 12 and 25 says, See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Boy, when we get there, we're surely going to ride that. That's very important because most people that teach Bible say that we will escape. But he says, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also shake heaven. 27 is where we need to zero in. And this word yet once more signifies, or it's a sign, the removing of things that are shaken as of the things that are made. And those things which cannot be shaken, they remain. Listen, because of that, or wherefore are we receiving a kingdom that cannot be moved, let us have grace that we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. He doesn't change. He doesn't move. And when we are in him, we receive a kingdom which cannot be moved. It's not going to be moved like the Israelite kingdom. It's not going to be moved like the kingdoms of this world, which have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and we shall reign with him forever and ever. We are those that cry out in the book of the Revelation 1 and 5, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, unto the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and have made us to be a kingdom of priests unto our God and Father. This is what the last revelation does. I would read in Isaiah 34 and show that when God destroyed Edom, that God used that same type of symbolism. I guess I will show just a little taste of it so that we can see that Tim is not making this up, that the heaven and earth being rolled is dealing with nations and dealing with the, we call people movie stars, or we call people a star or somebody that's up in position. It's where earth mimics heaven. But listen to what the Bible says so we can get a little taste for it. 34 and 1, Isaiah. Come near, ye nations, notice, nations to hear, and hearken, ye people, let the earth hear, and all that is therein, and the world, and the things that come forth of it. For the indignation of the Lord is upon all the nations, and his fury upon all their armies, and he hath utterly destroyed them, and has delivered them to the slaughter. Their slain shall be cast out, and their stink shall come up out of their carcasses, and their mountains shall be melted with their blood, and the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and their heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll, and all their hosts or armies shall fall down, as a leaf falleth down from the vine, as the falling from a fig tree. For my sword shall be bathed in heaven. Behold, it shall come down from Idumea, which is Edom, and upon the people of my curse to judgment. The sword of the Lord is filled with blood. It is made with fatness and the blood of lambs and goats and with the kidneys of ram. For the Lord has a sacrifice in Bozrah, a great slaughter in the land of Idumea. Now, without you fully understanding what's going on here, or before you think I'm just adding to it, understand that this has been fulfilled. This has taken place, and real stars from heaven didn't fall. Mountains didn't melt with blood, but the sword of the Lord by the enemy of God did come upon those, and it did capture and it killed those that were in leadership positions. It got those that were the luminaries of that age and in that country, and the same type of terminology is used in the New Testament, but for those New Testament babies that don't read what we have in the Old Testament with the law, the prophets, and the writings, they won't understand what's in the New Testament because they think it's a specialized knowledge to understand the Bible instead of letting the Bible speak for itself. But we have the last revelation of God. And the last revelation of God is Jesus. Listen to what the Bible says in Isaiah 51 and 5 so we can see about the heavens and earth. Isaiah 51 and 5. Let's just do 6. The Bible says, lift up your eyes into the heavens and look to the earth beneath. For the heavens shall vanish like smoke. The earth shall wax old like a garment. And they that dwell therein shall die in like manner. But my salvation will be forever and ever. And my righteousness shall not be abolished. So you see that just like you use people, you also have that God will deal with the land in like manner. Peter talks about it in 1 Peter chapter 3. I might give you a taste of that. But listen to the significance of what happens in the world on the earth. Look at how this translates, or for you to understand what this means for those of us who see Jesus as the last revelation of God, moving the things that can be shaken and setting up the things that cannot be moved so that we can see that we have a kingdom. Isaiah chapter 65 and 17, the Bible says, behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in that I create Jerusalem, rejoicing and her people joy. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and in my people, and the voice of weeping shall no more be heard in them. And if you know the Bible, you will know that 2 Corinthians chapter 5 tells us explicitly that if any man be in Christ, he becomes a new creation. The old things are passed away, and behold, all of the things become new, and all things are of God, which has reconciled us to himself by Jesus the Christ. I will submit to you that they had and that we have new heavens and earth now. A new creation. We are translated into the kingdom of his Son as stars. We are, according to Jesus, we are the light of the world. But somebody say, Tim, you're making it up. I'm not. It's what the Bible says. But if we don't like what the Bible says, or if we go to the Bible and think that we know what it says better than it does, we end up coming up with something that the Bible didn't teach. Listen to what the Bible says. He said he was going to create a new Jerusalem. Listen to what the Bible says. The Bible says in Hebrews 12 and 22, but you are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels in the general assembly and church of the firstborn. Read the book of Hebrews, Galatians 3 and 4. You'll see there's an earthly Jerusalem, but God has created a heavenly Jerusalem. And the heavenly Jerusalem that God has created is the embodiment of where the individuals that walk in him give his word. They exhibit the very things that's necessary for people to live, to move, and have their being in God. Yes, I do believe the heavens and the earth will be destroyed, both kind, but they'll be to be replaced. Where do you get that from? 2 Peter 3 and 7. The Bible says the heaven and earth which are now, it says by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire, against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly man. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. So don't think that, you know, it's got to be 1,000 years. It could be talking about one day. No, we're talking about God in his doing what he's going to do. Because verse 9 gives you the context. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. He's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should come to perish, but it all would come to repentance. So the writer of Hebrews is encouraging these people. The last revelation, I'm letting you know that this person that I'm telling you to trust in, he laid the foundation of the earth. Everything you see are the works of his hands. They will perish, just like all these other leaders. But he remains. Even this earth itself, their systems will wax old as a garment. And just like a piece of clothes, he'll fold them up. They'll be changed. But you are the same, and your years shall not fail. If you've already made it to adulthood, look at all the shoes that you've had that you've outgrown, torn up, pants, socks, whatever. But you remain. Those clothes are gone. The illustration here, as a vesture, you fold them up, they'll be changed. And he goes back to where he was before. To which of the angels did he ever say, sit on my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool? The answer is, not a single one. He says, are they not ministering spirits? The angels, sent forth to minister to them who shall be heirs of salvation. You want to be a child of God, or you want to be one that follows someone else? If you want to be a child of God, you're going to stick with the last revelation of God. The last revelation of God is his Son. God, who in sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past to the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days, and these were the last days. Hebrews going to show you it was the last days. He's spoken to us by his Son. And when he put that by his Son, he's showing you right then, he's going to make sure you understand his Son is the last revelation. Why? He appointed the Son as heir of all things. By his Son he made the world. The Son is the brightness of his glory. It is the exact or the express image of his person. His Son upholds all things by the word of his power. When his Son had by himself purged our sin, his Son sat down on the right hand of majesty. That means in authority. On the majesty and high, he was made better than the angels. He also obtained a more excellent name than they as a human. And he says, to which of them did he ever say, today is my Son I have begotten thee? Jesus was begotten from the dead so that he could be both Lord of the dead and of the living. That's what the Bible says. We better learn to love the Bible, because the Bible is so pretty. And that if we don't really take the Bible for what it's saying, we'll end up missing some of the goodness and some of the juice that God has in it. He told all the angels to worship him. He said his throne is forever. His rule is a scepter of righteousness. He loves righteousness, saints. He hates iniquity, verse 9. When you say you don't love God's laws, he hates iniquity. The Bible says he anointed him with the oil above his fellows. And this is the one that created. This is the one that created all things. This is the one that will outlast the heavens. All man's systems, all earthly systems, and all systems that we see when we look in the sky. He said, but the angels, they are ministering spirits. They are sent forth to minister to us, the heirs of salvation, if we're going to trust him as being the last revelation. And because of that, chapter 2, verse 1 says, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Let's work on that if the Lord's will on Saturday. We move to chapter 2. We're going to deal with much things of the Bible, the destruction of Satan by the last revelation of God, We're going to deal with the word of the last revelation of God, how it is able, he and it is able to free us. And we're going to also talk about all things being made and put down under him, stomped, crushed, etc. We're going to talk about the kinsman redeemer. So we'll be having to deal with some things in Genesis. And we're going to also talk about how he stood faithful. We got so much juice that we got to work with. But tonight, it was important for us to see there is no more revelation. He is the last revelation of God. He is the last. God has revealed to us the very one that created for him this world. If we would give our hearts to him, meditate on his word, and walk in it, not only are we going to have victory in this life, but we're going to have the success that God wants for us, not the kind that man said that we would have. Father, I thank you for your magnificent blessing, your truth, your word, your wisdom, and instruction. By your might and by your holy power, I ask you in the blessed name of your holy child, Jesus, strengthen us with might within the inner man. Cause us to heed your word, to love your word, and to accept, to exalt your word in our life above all things. Protect us and guide us as we go, and allow us to be the people that will help people see who you are. I ask this in the blessed name of your righteous child, Jesus. Amen. Amen. And even so, amen.